Hello and welcome to the ESG Fitness Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help you think, learn and grow, and hopefully smile and laugh on the way too. My aim here is to break down your barriers to taking action and provide you with evidence-based diet and exercise information in a fun and interesting way. I hope I nail that and I hope you enjoy. If at any point you are enjoying this and you think, wouldn't it be great to work with Emma? You can head to esgfitness.co.uk to find out more information. Without further ado, because I hate long introductions, here is this episode. Hi Andy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm very well. How's the house move going?
Yeah, good. Loads of work getting done in the house at the moment. So we've been pretty lucky. We've got kind of all the contractors kind of lined up. So Sparky's finishing off today. Decorators in, stripping the walls. Plasterers in, not this weekend, but next weekend when I'm in London. And then painters back to do the lining and the painting. And then get the floors done. So hopefully by the end of October, we'll have a house that's kind of on the route to where we want it to be.
A house? Are you living in a house?
Yeah, we moved in pretty much the day after we got the keys. So it's a bit of a building site. And when I say a building site, it's not exactly a building site. It's been rewired and stuff. And just loads of sort of aesthetic stuff. So it's livable. It's been interesting. But it's good fun. We've got a pretty big garden, so the dog's absolutely loving life.
She literally
is out until 10 o'clock at night. You've actually got to tell her to come back in, and she's raging. It's like, come back in, and she just like sits and stares at you to say no. So, yeah, it's going well for her.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, first question. Oh, actually, I wanted to say, loved the, what am I calling it? Group chat, I guess, group check-in this week. It was really nice. It was really nice to see everyone and kind of, yeah, chat to people and have a little bit of back and forward. So very much enjoyed that. Shall be bringing it in. Okay, awesome. First question. Louise, hello coaches. I find myself feeling so much hungrier on non-gym days and end up overeating on those days. I usually train in the morning and I think my body expects to have lunch when I get home and sit at my desk, which is obviously earlier on non-gym days. Everything else is the same, steps, breakfast, etc. I've tried surfing the urge, but I find it hard to concentrate on work. It's not boredom. My stomach is literally rumbling. I currently train 4 days a week, 3 on weekdays and 1 at the weekend. Does it make sense to go to the gym every weekday morning, even if one session isn't so intense, so the routine is the same, or is there something else I could try? Thanks.
It's a bit of a tough one because it is. I would say that sounds like a bit of a habitual thing more than anything else. And it's surfing the urge isn't something that's going to happen once. It's something that you need to stick in with. And it depends on how long you've been doing it for. If you've been doing it for 6 months and it's still not changing itself out, I'd maybe suggest that you maybe try and change your meal timings. This is where people talk about meal timings and stuff like that. And for most of the time, the applicable sort of nature of them is it doesn't really work. So people try to say, oh, meal timing, nutrient timing is really important. Small percentages, but something like this where you maybe need to time your meals a little bit better just so that you potentially have your breakfast slightly earlier, or you maybe try and account for a snack mid-morning, especially if you train in the morning. So a lot of this stuff, it's like anything, a lot of it's trial and error, and it's the same for us coaches. Like, we need to look at your feedback, and over the time of us looking at your feedback, it's trial and error where we need to, what we need to do, how we need to manipulate it to make it work for you. It's not an exact science. We just need to keep sort of amending things and making them work. But I would say that it's potentially you maybe need to have a look at sort of maybe changing meal times on certain days. And remember, I know you may have a routine, but you don't have to be stuck in the same routine. It can change day to day. So if you have a training day, you may have that routine, but your non-training day has a slightly different routine. It doesn't need to be exactly the same just without the training. So kind of keep those things in mind.
Yeah, I totally get this because I'm very much the same. And I think when you have a routine for most days, then actually your hunger signals, so like your ghrelin gets into a routine as well. That's why you tend to get hungry at lunchtime. And then say you're really busy at lunchtime and you miss lunch, you're actually not that hungry at 3 p.m. because your body's not used to eating at that time. And actually, your ghrelin levels will spike at lunchtime anyway and then come back down whether you eat or not. So that's quite an interesting thing to know. The other thing that I think might be happening is not a lot of people think about this side of the impact of exercise, but exercise for most people actually suppresses appetite, at least short term. So it could be that on a normal day, I mean, there's two things. Obviously, you're getting back to your desk later, so you can just eat your lunch because you've normally been at the gym. So what you could do instead of what you could do instead of going to the gym is do something else. Like it might be yoga, it might be going for a walk, it might be, oh, Andy, you just disappeared, but you're back.
Back.
Okay. Yeah, so it might be doing something else with that time, or as I said, it could be the effects of exercise on suppressing hunger levels, which is why you're hungrier on non-exercise days. I think it's often a mix of the two, like it's the habitual, I've got another hour, and maybe, I mean, you've said it doesn't sound like in your case it is boredom eating because you're like, no, I'm like physically hungry. Even when I sit down to try and essentially distract myself by doing work, I'm physically hungry. So it does sound like it's more of a physical thing, which means, do you know what? If I was you, and this is kind of how I live my life, like I would say more of the reason that I exercise has to do with productivity and mental health, and maybe not even mental health, right? But like how I show up, like my mood for the day, than really anything physical, which means that I quite like to exercise at least every working day. So like every Monday to Friday, I will exercise Monday to Friday. And it's sort of usually at the same time. Now and again, I'll move them around just because it doesn't fit with my day. But generally, it will be at the same time. And I get into that routine. And you could try that. And you could, as you said, like we don't want you to overtrain, but you could be like, okay, I'm going to do my 4 sessions a week, Monday to Friday. And then on that fifth day, I'm going to do a bit of yoga, or I'm just going to do some cardio, or I'm going to do some stretching, or I'm going to make up. What I quite like to do if I'm doing an extra session is like a quote unquote weakness session. So what's something that maybe is like a bit of a lagging body part and I've not been working on it, or something, a skill that I want to get better at, like maybe I could just practice doing that. So that would probably be what I would suggest.
Choose one.
Okay, next question. Okay, morning all. Question for the coaches or anyone who knows. How long after your workout should you be eating? For example, I work out first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, and then once I'm done, I will have food. Similar with my afternoon, I work out just before having lunch. Does that mean you're working out twice a day? The dramatic pause. Anyway, it says, I read somewhere that you should be waiting for around 45 minutes after your workout, as it helps with digestion and allows your body to absorb more nutrients. Is there any truth in this?
To be fair, it's mainly down to personal preference on this one. Some people can't, like, personally, I struggle to eat like solid food after a heavy going training session. So that's why I implement a shake after training. And it's been something I've been like that since I played football. I was never able to eat for the hour and a half before I played, and then an hour and a half after, I found it very difficult. So implementing stuff like shakes was always ideal for me. But it's down to preference. Shona, who I train with occasionally, she can literally be finishing her meal as she's starting her session. Whereas I need a bit of time to for my body just to chillax into it. And then she can be the same. She'll finish a training session and she'll start eating. Whereas I need a bit of time just to allow myself to catch up a little bit. So it's down to personal preference. If it fits for you, happy days, don't change it. Like if that fits for you and it works for you and you're ticking your protein off per day, you're managing your calories, happy days. That's really all you kind of want to, they're the boxes that you need to tick.
Yeah, it's going to make minimal difference. I wouldn't be like clock watching and being like, oh, I'm really hungry, but I need to wait 45 minutes after I finish this workout to make sure I'm digesting all these nutrients. I think there's normally some kind of vague theory behind these things. That's why they stick around as myths. And I imagine for it would be the redistribution of your blood flow. So less towards your stomach for digestion and more towards your working muscles. So that's probably where that has come from. But no, you wouldn't need to do that. If anything, it's probably beneficial to get in protein sooner because then you're probably like in a theoretical world, and again, this is going to make minimal difference, but then you would be closer to what's the right word when two things happen at once? Simultaneously hitting
Synchronicity.
your muscle protein synthesis spike from exercise and your muscle protein synthesis spike from nutrients, and then that would potentially be a good thing for building muscle. It probably also depends on the type of exercise. For example, I could eat quite quickly after a resistance training session, but if I was doing HIIT or something, then I probably wouldn't be able to eat straight after that. And likewise beforehand, like if I was doing, I'm just thinking back to when I used to do athletics, like I would never eat right before a really horrible lactic-y sprint session or right
Because
after.
you were going, because you'd probably chunder during it. That's
Well, yeah,
why.
exactly, because you'd feel really sick. But I could probably like eat a protein bar just before I went to the gym. All right then. Okay. Oh, I've answered that one. Ever since I've had having my baby, also had COVID not long after, so it could be this. I've had every illness going when normally I dodge everything the kids bring home, and haven't been sick for years previously. I didn't drink and I eat a decent amount of fruit and veg. Any ideas as to why my immune system seems so much weaker now, and anything I can do to help? Sniff, sniff.
2 years away in a mask during COVID is probably not going to have helped the immune system, unfortunately. And we've had 2 years of having a mask on and having absolutely no bugs. And then a common cold that normally you would trooper through is probably going to knock you for 10. And that's something we had to deal with over the pandemic. You had to wear a mask. It's all fine. But it does have the sort of, unfortunately, has a knock-on effect of you probably will catch more things. And actually catching more things is probably going to make you more immune to stuff in the next couple of years. So actually catching a few more things is probably going to be beneficial. Although it doesn't feel like that at the time. I had a bit of a cold last week, felt like absolute horseshit. But feeling better now. But yeah, it's our immune systems need to have the unfortunately need to have access to bacteria and stuff to be able to help understand it and to be able to fight it. But little things like vitamin D potentially. Sometimes you know there's a we obviously don't recommend not a massive recommendation on like multivitamins and stuff like that. But I do know that the British Olympic Committee their nutritionists usually double dose multivitamins, zinc and magnesium before flights because generally you'll pick up some kind of bug on a flight and apparently that's good at pepping up your immune system. Or so they reckon. That's probably a lot of the stuff that they read in the certain research that they've done. But that's what generally they give to athletes before they go on a flight is double dose these things. Whether it works or not, whether it's a placebo, who knows?
Weird,
But
weird that it's zinc and magnesium. The only thing that I've read that might potentially help is if you are just feeling a cold coming on, is like really high dose vitamin C.
What was the other stuff? Was it echinacea? That was like a proper like old wives one. Echinacea and dandelion will help you with your cold. It's like, all right, cool. I'll just stick loads of
Don't
Orbis oil
know.
on my pillow to.
Yeah, don't know about that. Yeah, I still find like this is kind of just minutiae about immune system, but and I think it annoyed me most in lockdown because everyone was like, take this to boost your immune system. And I'm like,
Oh, how many times?
the last thing you want to do is boost your immune system, especially not your first response. Like your first response immune system is why you feel so shit. It's your fever, it's your snotty nose, it's your cough, like it's all these horrible symptoms. You'd want to boost the second response, which is the antibodies, but that vitamin C isn't going to do that for you. So anyway, I thought that's like, that's kind of interesting. Whenever you read something that's like, this will boost your immune system, I'm like, okay, well, that's like, I don't want to feel like,
Everybody thought that like vitamin D was like the super soldier serum or something like that. Boost yourself with like overdosing on vitamin D. You're like, all right, okay.
I think it's because that a lot of it was looking at correlation data, and they showed that people who were suffering worse with COVID had low levels of vitamin D, which could be for numerous reasons, like potentially poor health before they even got COVID. And then shockingly, that made things worse for them. Basically putting those two things together. The other thing that you said that's interesting is like the exposure thing, and because we've been wearing masks for so long, and I do wonder like how the flu season will be this year because of that, or like the cold season even. And there is quite interesting research looking at the increase in autoimmune conditions in young people because of how clean everything is now. This was pre-COVID, but just, you know, kids used to just go out. Like, I used to go out, I must have been the most annoying kid, but like I used to go out and just like get really dirty and jump in mud, and then
you used to eat mud worms. Like, I used to feed my sister like worms and daffodils and stuff, and she was healthy as anything.
Yeah, or like, you know, you drop a bit of food on the floor or something, you just eat it, and so you are exposed to like more dirt.
The 10-second rule.
Yeah,
now in Andy's house, it can stay there as long as it wants. It's getting eaten at some point, even if it's under the sofa, it'll get rooted out either by me or the dog.
You know what? You can't do that with dogs, because when something drops in your house, it's covered in dog hair. No.
True, but also she needs to be quick though, because I'm usually catching before it hits the deck, because I like my food.
Okay, well, hopefully that was somewhat useful for you. I think this is a really good question. Okay, so how do you know when to push through and when to rest? Context: I've been unwell since last week. I had a viral infection. I pushed through and did all my workouts regardless. Big no-no. Probably the worst thing you could have done. I'm still exhausted, probably because you pushed through. I'm low in energy, so I've taken the last 3 days as rest. I want to go to the gym tomorrow, but unsure if pushing through is going to result in further either delaying full recovery, or is it more likely to help boost my energy levels and recovery? So in answer to this specific question, one, you should have rested. Two, you should still be resting. But I think what's quite an interesting question generally is how to know when to push through and how to know when to rest.
Yeah,
that's one of the hardest questions like to ask yourself, and it takes quite a lot of kind of self-awareness to know, like, am I the kind of person that usually lets myself off easy, or am I the kind of person that doesn't? And annoyingly, and this is true for sort of so many areas in life, like you tend to take the advice in these situations that you don't need. Like if I was telling someone like, do you know what, you've not been to the gym for a week and you say you're feeling fine, so like let's push on and let's go. Someone who wants to hear that message, who really shouldn't be going to gym, like, well, Emma said it was a good idea to go to the gym, so I'm going to go to gym. Whereas if on the other hand, I'm like, you know, like talking to Louise here, I'm like, you should really take a rest. Someone who's like, probably should go to the gym today will be like, well, you know, Emma said that if you're not feeling 100%, you should take a rest. So it's kind of knowing yourself, which is a hard thing. But it's one of the hardest things in life in like all areas. Like, when should you work harder on business and when should you take a rest? Like, a lot of people now are like, I would say almost swaying too far towards the rest side. And sometimes I'm like, actually, you know, the best thing that you can do for yourself, but even like for quote unquote self-care, is to work a little bit harder. Like, I think we've lost quite a lot of work ethic because there's, again, I think people are listening to the wrong messages, because there are some people that work themselves to the absolute bone and should be taking more rest. And then there are people who really aren't working hard at all and then do half an hour's work and they're like, do you know what? I really deserve the rest of the day off because that was really taxing and I don't want to burn myself out.
Yeah, it's one of those strange ones though, isn't it? I think it's unfortunately, again, I'll come back to this one again with social media. I think a lot of it comes down to people, the amount of time folks spend on social media, seeing people who are influencers not really doing very much and seeming to make a lot of money. And they think that should be them as well. So that kind of work ethic kind of side of stuff comes from that. But with your kind of rest and recovery, we're generally there are obviously two camps. You'll have, exactly as you said, you'll have the camp that probably should take the rest but doesn't take the rest, and then you've got the camp that takes the rest but doesn't need the rest. You need to know where you sit, and you need to be, as exactly as Emma said, is you need to be a lot more self-aware, start to understand your body. And that's kind of the process of Commit to Six, is not just your goal at the end of it being either, you know, fat loss or muscle building. It's about understanding yourself and learning about yourself, understanding about when you should be pushing, when you should be backing off, listening to your body for things like recovery telltale signs, like, you know, I maybe need to take an extra day off, or actually, do you know what, I've done four sessions this week, but my body's really feeling really good, I could probably do a fifth session. Just little things like that. You need to become much more self-aware about these things. And, you know, people, I detest them. Any form of tracker, I think, is, for me, is bollocks. I think the best tracker that you have, and it's free, is your body. You listen to your body, and if you can tune into what your body's trying to tell you, you'll make so many more better forward steps, much more progress with whatever it is you're doing. You know, fighting that inner voice of, oh, we don't need to do that extra bit of work today. Actually, you do get it done. You know, or maybe you do need to take a bit of time off and take a day off. You know, these things come, and again, it's about calling yourself out. Like, you've got to be adult about these things. Sometimes the easy option is just to go, ah, I'm kind of bored doing that. But actually, the hard option, and the one that's going to get you closer to where you want to be, is going, actually, do you know what? I don't want to do it, but if I get it done, it gets me closer. And that's kind of how you need to look at it.
Yeah, and I think this is related to, like, not setting unrealistic targets, but also not letting yourself down. And I think as soon as you start breaking promises to yourself, it becomes a bit of a slippery slope. Like, if you told yourself, I don't know, you know what, sometimes it's tiny things, but I think they're really impactful. And I'm quite, like, obsessive's often used as a negative word, but, like, I'm quite pedantic about this. If I say, I don't know, I'm going to do 10 minutes on the treadmill, and it's at, like, 8 minutes, like, I will still do the 10 minutes because I've said that I'm going to do 10 minutes. Or if I say, I don't know, I'm going to do a podcast every Monday, like, does it matter that I miss one? No, not at all. It won't make any difference. But I've told myself, like, literally nobody else cares. It doesn't matter to anybody else. It's just me, is what I've told myself that I will do. And that should be the most important thing. It doesn't really matter if I tell Andy, who's my coach, I'm going to do 5 workouts a week and I don't. That's okay. If I tell myself I'm going to do 5 workouts a week and I don't, that's letting myself down. Now, a much better way of doing that would be to do to tell myself that I'm going to do 3 workouts a week and then actually end up doing 5 workouts a week, because that would be like my, sorry, I'm getting distracted because I can see in my mirror, my flat that I'm renting out, and I can see that there's people, like, looking around it. I'm like, ooh. But I don't.
Hi.
Anyway,
I'm your neighbor and landlord.
No, this is why I got an agent. I was like, I don't want anyone to know that I live next door, because they'll be knocking on the door like, oh, something's broken. I'm like, not my problem. Do I look like I would know how to fix that? No. Hopefully I got my point across there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. I think it's right, though. It's about these little habits, you know, and these are the things that we look to build across any process that you do. Commit to Six, one-to-one stuff, you guys will do it with the EC method as well, is genuinely building habits. And if you let yourself down on those habits and let things slide, that's when your things start to fall to bits. So keeping on top of them, making sure that you're ticking off all the boxes you need to tick. Not perfectly, imperfectly. Imperfect, we're not wanting perfection, but make sure those boxes are ticked. Half ticks are better than no ticks. It's as simple as that. And I would say that if you get 5 half ticks rather than 1 full tick across your boxes, that's what we're looking for. And if you start to let these things slide, that's when the bigger things start to slide as well. And it's building all those little foundations that start to put, it's little building blocks. Imagine a builder did a foundation and he started missing out blocks every 2 blocks. It's not going to last for very long, but as these little things count, and they may seem small and minutia, but these are the things that add up to the bigger goals and the bigger progress that you're going to make, is getting these tiny little things and just ticking them off daily.
Yeah, and it's hard mentally to get that Basically, because people get excited about their big goals, right? If you're like, oh, I want to make a million or I want to run a marathon, like those are big, exciting goals. But what people don't really like is when you, okay, so what do you need to do today to get to the point that you can run a marathon? And they're like, well, I can't actually even run a mile at the moment, so I should probably go for a walk today. That's like, then, oh, I don't actually want to do like, that's actually realistically the hard work that it takes to get to that point. And that's the important part, is to break down the big, exciting goal into actionable steps that will actually get you closer to where you want to be. Okay, right. Sharon, losing my mojo a bit. Any tips on where to focus my efforts to get the zing back? I know you touched on this on the Zoom call, but squeezing out any any gems possible. Okay, thoughts.
Going back to like these things like mojo and motivation come from just getting the shit stuff done. Keep ticking off those boxes. And what they, I think a lot of people, I don't know if it was something in this last set of check-ins, but a lot of people kind of don't see small progress as being progress. So like even ticking off the habits consistently for that those 2 weeks, that's a massive win. Like because you haven't been doing that previously, that's a huge win. But they overlook that stuff. Oh, shit, that's just like that's normal. It's not normal. Otherwise, you'd been doing it previously and you wouldn't be here with us. So getting those things ticked off, you know, we speak about this regularly, kind of motivation doesn't suddenly just appear out of nowhere. Motivation comes from getting the hard stuff done, the stuff that you don't want to do, the those extra 3,000 steps that may mean very little in the grand scheme of things, but they're keeping you on track with your goals. There's that extra work, that fourth workout of the week. You know, these things, getting those little things done add up to the bigger thing. And if you can keep with that, even when you don't want to do it, and acting imperfectly, again, we're going full imperfect action on this one, acting imperfectly, you will start to get results. And if you see results, that's when you get your mojo. That's where motivation comes from. It's doing the hard shit and seeing the results of the hard stuff and putting the effort in where you can't really be arsed. Because we all get that. You know, it's coming that time of year now where, you know, it's getting darker at night times. It's going to be harder to get out and get steps. It's going to be harder to do a lot of things, get up in the morning because it's cold and it's miserable. You know, but if you are willing to put the hard work in and just get the things ticked off, you will see the results. And that's where your mojo and your motivation comes back from. You know, and using it's easy for me to say that. It's about putting it in place. You know, I'm exactly the same. I have to do these things to stay motivated. You know, and there will be days where I'm not as motivated as other ones. And those are the days that matter the most. Those are the ones that I need to go out and get the stuff done. Otherwise, it's a big flume to the bottom of nowhere.
Yeah, I think that's a great mindset to have, that those are the days that matter the most, or like the times that matter the most. And I think you touched on that as well, like the expectation of motivation. It's not always going to be there. Nobody's always motivated. So the first thing I would do is accept that this is a normal dip. Like we all have these. And then secondly, I think especially with you, Sharon, stop, whether you're outright saying this or not, in at some level, you're telling yourself that this is unenjoyable. And I know that actually you love it. And I think you've forgotten that you love it. So, for example, if I took all of your outcomes away, would you still go to the gym? And I 100% know you would, because you love doing that, right? And I think we spoke about this on the Zoom call, and it was more about the nutrition side of things. But again, like actually remind yourself of the benefits you're getting from the nutrition, not only in terms of your health, but actually just like how you feel. Like you feel so much better when you're fueling yourself. And if you can approach your diet like that, like actually, I want to eat in a way that my body is going to thank me for and is going to make me feel my best. And then, because I know you've got incredible physique goals as well, how is my body going to thank me in relation to my physique goals? Like, what do I need to fuel my body with to make sure it's doing what I want it to do? Instead of thinking, like, how can I deprive myself, or how can I eat less, or worrying excessively about energy balance and calories and everything. So I think that's one element. And then obviously one of my favorite things that you said is that the hard days are the days that count. And I honestly, I think this is probably where I get most of my motivation from. Most people would give up now. In fact, almost everyone would give up now. The difference between people that get results and people that don't get results isn't really any level of skill. It's literally being consistent. It's resilience. It's keeping going when most people would give up, because most people, more and more so nowadays, want the immediate gratification, or they're not willing to put in the hard work. And as soon as something gets boring or a little bit tedious, or their motivation dips a little bit, they give up. And usually when I feel like that, I'm exactly the same as Andy. I'm like, the days that I'm not motivated, I know they count. Actually, the days that I am, great, roll with it, cool. But like, that's easy. That's when everybody does it, right? What stands you out from the rest is the days where you don't want to do it. That's what gets you better results than the average person. Now, when you go and look up stats of average people in the UK, you don't want to be that. Like, the average person is overweight. The average person probably, I mean, I'm not going to go into all that, but basically the unhealthy, overweight. If you don't want to be average, you can't act like an average person. The average person would give up now, but you don't want to be average, which means that you're not going to give up now. And actually you're going to push through this. And that's kind of a test. Like, I always see it as a bit of a test. Okay, I'm having a bit of a low point. How do I want to respond to this? What will my future self be happy that I did during this time? And know that it will pass. Like, these feelings always pass, and then motivation kind of suddenly appears again. But the one thing about motivation is it's your unreliable friend. You can't, like, the person that now and again shows up and you have a great time, but actually you wouldn't be calling them in the night if you needed them. Like, they're not the, like, hard, steady friend that will always be
there. Dependables.
Yeah, they're flaky as hell, right? But they're still fun to be around. Cool. So when you're with them, enjoy it. But don't be expecting them to always be there. So that's how you should think about motivation. And then also I would say for you, it would be good to kind of redefine what your goals are. Because I think part of the reason that you're having a bit of a dip at the moment is because you're like, oh, you know what? Like, I mean, Sharon's had incredible results. And sometimes once you do that, you're like, okay, well, like, I don't have this burning desire anymore. So what is it that I want to get from this? And like, what is the outcome? And sometimes, like, I've already kind of mentioned this today, but for me, it's not physical anymore. Like, I don't go to the gym every day for the physical benefits. Sure, like, I would say it's probably 40% physical and 60% the way that exercise makes me feel. Like, that's the benefit for me. And I think actually, if you don't define that, you can be like, oh, like, I think if I didn't define that for myself, I'd be running on like 40% motivation, because I'm like, I'm not that fussed about these results. Like, someone, actually a really weird thing happened to me in the gym. I'm not going to say too much because I highly doubt they listen to the podcast, but they might. Anyway, someone was like, came up to me and was like, oh, you look, I don't know if they'd mistaken me for someone else. I don't know, but they were like, I joined a different gym maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
They're mistaking you for Arnold.
They were like, you look so different than when you started. And I don't know if it was just a way to get into conversation, right? But it did make me think, I look exactly the same. And I have done for a very long period of time now, which means, you know, with like usual fluctuations, but broadly, like, you know, there's not been like huge physique changes. Now, if my sole motivation or purpose for going to the gym was only physique related, and I only looked at those markers of progress, like, I wouldn't be going to the gym. Like, I'd be like, well, I look basically the same as I always have, so what the hell's the point going and like maintaining this? Like, I don't know, like, I'd be like, I'm not making any improvement, so I wouldn't be motivated. But actually, I love going. But you have to remind yourself, like, actually, previously maybe you were going for the outcome, and now you're going because you love it, because you enjoy it, because it makes good, because, you know, it gives you the feeling of feeling fit, healthy, the immediate buzz that you get from it, the endorphin rush that you get from it, the friends that you go to the gym with, like, I know you've got a gym partner that you train with, like, all of these things that come with it, you can enjoy the process, like, allow yourself to enjoy the process. And I guess often because of other people's negative connotations of going to the gym or doing exercise, like, sometimes that rubs off on you and you forget that actually that's an enjoyable thing for you, not like as much as many other people might see it as a negative. Like, you're actually like, oh no, like, I want to go, like, I actually want to go, even if it doesn't make any difference to my fat loss or my building muscle or a physique change.
I pay for a membership, nobody's stealing it from me.
Exactly. But a lot of people see it as like almost like a punishment, right? Oh, but I have to go to the gym, I'm going to force myself to go to the gym.
That's why we don't like the whole thing of, you know, you see these infographs of, oh, having 2 donuts is the equivalent of however many hours on the treadmill. Like, that's just not helpful. It's not helpful in the slightest. And that's if you want to be like that, go join that mindset. That's fine. Fire on down there. But we're in a whole different camp here. We get to do this. We get to enjoy. We have a privilege of being able to go to the gym and be able to train and be able to be physically fit, physically strong, healthy. You know, these things, you get to do them. And I think it's grasping it with that mindset rather than the opposing mindset's obviously always something that, you know, in the initial onset with a lot of people who have never sort of touched the gym, etc., can be very difficult. But they generally find that very quickly they're like, I can't wait to go to the gym. I'm buzzing. Really ready. Happy for this. Let's do this. So, yeah.
And then if you're not doing it for that, do it for the incredible health benefits. Like, I've just been reminded of this because I'm redoing my cancer rehab course, because I think it's like 4 or 5 years since I did it. And yeah, I basically need to relook over stuff and like re-qualify or whatever. And it reminded me of like how strong the evidence is that being physically active reduces risk of cancer. So many different cancers. And then obviously my target area was women with breast cancer. And actually, like, the reduction for, so what is it? Right, I have them here somewhere. If you're active prior to diagnosis, your risk of dying from breast cancer is reduced by 18%. If you're active post-diagnosis, your risk of dying from breast cancer is reduced by 30%, both compared to people who aren't active. And then research shows a dose-response relationship. So the more active someone is, the lower their risk of cancer reoccurrence, which again is huge. Now, obviously at some point that saturates, right? You can't just keep being more and more and more active, and like that would be a negative at some point. But from the research that we have, the more active
you are. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, of course it is. And then it's
something that's so simple. Like, as hard as I know it's easy for us to say it because this is what we do, we're fitness professionals, but exercise isn't difficult. It really isn't. And like, that's me being like, it can be very, very basic. It can be done for someone who's never set foot in a gym in 40 years. You can set something up really simply, really easily for them to be able to follow. And that's the start, you know. And for many people, that's the start. You know, I've got clients that are, you know, I've got one client, Pat, she's in her mid-70s now, you know, and she does triathlons. And she's always been fit, but she never really went into a gym until she was probably in her late 40s. You know, so, and she's in a gym regularly, in the gym regularly now. So, you know, these things, you know, it's massive health benefits. It's the same thing as, you know, this is the reason that we always look at steps as well. You know, over 8,000 steps, the health benefits of getting over 8,000 steps a day are in terms massive. So why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you just take that time just to go and do it? Because it's going to increase your health. That's something you can do.
And then the other thing, when people are like, I don't have time, I'm like, it. No joke, it gives you time, not just in terms of like short-term productivity, but years on your life, and not just years, but healthy years on your life. And it's not just me being like, I don't know, flamboyant.
Maybe you need to change it from a different angle and say, if you don't do it, you'll have less time.
Yeah, true.
Take it away from them. You've got less time. So you can either have more time or less time. Which one would you prefer? More time is obviously always going to be the one there. So yeah, I think it's some people, you know what it's like though. Some folk are like, it's talking to a brick wall. But
I think it's often because you kind of don't see that older person as you. You're like, yeah, I know that down the line this might have an impact, but right now, I don't really care that much.
But it's
delayed gratification, isn't it?
Yeah, but I also think as well, like, for, I think a lot of it is, I think now generations below us now are going to have much better role models, because like, my dad was a fantastic role model for me. Like, he's 67, he stopped playing five-a-side football 2 years ago at 65, still probably does about 25, 30,000 steps a day just with his work, you know, and he's physically fit. Like, he got his medical done earlier this year. So he's like asking me, oh, can you have a look through it for me? I was like, yeah, fine. So I have a look through it. He's like, oh, I think my liver function's a bit out. I'm like, I had a look at it and went, like, I was like, well, actually, you're dehydrated, you're doing too much, like, you're not taking enough water in for the amount of activity you're doing. So they then went back and got another one done. He's got a metabolic age of 50, so he's absolutely buzzing.
I will say, not to take anything away from your dad, but those metabolic ages that come up on like, I don't
well,
know.
for him, it's perked him up to keep himself exercising,
Yeah, I
keep
mean,
himself
that's
fit, rather than sitting in a pub, which is what I kind of needed to do. So
great.
that's always good.
I can see loads of people walking into my flat.
Was it queued out the door?
Genuinely, there's actually quite a lot of people. Anyway, last question, Laura. I don't have a lot of time to do quite a bit of I don't have a lot of time and I do quite a bit of cardio for sport. How do I make my home workouts and gym workouts as short and effective as possible? Is there a simple strength routine I could just keep doing, or is it wishful thinking? It's not wishful thinking at all. Like, you
no,
can
no.
do something really simple consistently and keep pushing yourself and you will get incredible results. Like, your body doesn't need different workouts and different stimulus the whole time. Like, if you're pushing yourself with the basics, to be quite honest, you'll probably get better results than someone who's changing program every week. In fact, you'll definitely get better results than someone who's changing program every week, but maybe even than someone who's changing program every 6 weeks.
Yeah, just even like using the workouts that you've got on the app, but just maybe cutting a set off each exercise to make it fit. That's always a good option to do. But yeah, absolutely. I think it's the benefits to the sport that you play as well as health will be massive if you can get these things plugged in. And a lot of this stuff is about finding where you can fit it, you know. And there's going to be a bit of time where you're maybe going to have a bit of give and take about where it goes. And this is the kind of stuff that we talk about, is like, as much as we like routine, and like, I'm the same as everybody else, I absolutely love routine, but I know I'm flexible enough that if my routine changes for the day, that the routine just changes. So if I normally train in the morning but I've then got a busy morning, I'll train in the afternoon instead, and it doesn't affect me. I just got to flip it. But yeah, definitely keep that strength stuff in, because it's massively important, especially if you're doing a lot of sport around it as well.
Mm-hmm. And I talk about this all the time, but I can't emphasize it enough. A short workout is so much better than no workout. And actually, it's almost as good as a full workout. Like, if you do 50% of the session that we set in the gym, you're probably going to get 80% of the benefit. So it's absolutely always worth doing. And if you're like, do you know what, all I have is 15 minutes at home, you can get a really good workout in 15 minutes at home. Like, don't underestimate bodyweight workouts. They are freaking hard work.
Yeah, you can make them as hard as you want.
Agreed. Okay. Thank you so much for your brain and your time.
No, thank you all.
We will see you soon. Thank you, as ever, for your time and attention. If you want to talk to me about coaching, or if you want to find out more about how to work with me, head over to esgfitness.co.uk. There is also lots of free information on the website and some worksheets, which I hope you will find useful. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear from you. Please tag me in your stories at esgfitness, or shoot me a message. And if you think you know anyone who would enjoy this episode, why not share it with them? Thanks, guys.